The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Baba Yakubu
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, President Mahama orders interdiction of three top officers of Ghana Immigration Service. Organized labor to declare nationwide strike on the 18th of next month over utility price increase. Experts in the mining industry discuss rising cost of mining and falling prices of gold on the world market. Scientists predict partial solar eclipse this Sunday, and head of U.S. intelligence says spying on foreign leaders is a fundamental part of their work. But first, the summary by Jonathan.
President Mahama has directed the immediate interdiction of three top officers of the Ghana Immigration Service. The directive follows the results of an investigation conducted into their involvement in the issuance of residence permits to some Chinese nationals without due regard to the requirement of the law and institutional procedures. The three officers have been directed to hand over the duties of their offices and all official items and vehicles. Meanwhile, President Mahama has left Accra for Sweden to attend a review meeting of the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization. Organized labor hints of embarking on a national strike on the 18th of next month if current utility tariffs remain unchanged. The decision was taken at a national unions meeting in Accra. The Deputy General Secretary of the Industrial Commercial Workers Union, Professor Morgan Ayawuni, who stated this to Radio Ghana, said the current percentage hike is too much for workers to bear. The Ghana Chamber of Mines has rallied together stakeholders in the industry to discuss how to use mining to further the development process. This comes in the wake of the public quest for information, the absence of which has fueled acute negative perceptions about mining. The lead discussant, Dr. Steve Mantia of ICEDEC, reiterated the need for government and citizens to approach such dialogues with open minds and hearts. On November 3rd, this Sunday, the country will experience partial hybrid solar eclipse. A volunteer of Ghana Planetarium, Madam Sarah Abuchi, said the moon will partially cover the sun at exactly 20 minutes past 1 p.m. She added that the eclipse is expected to occur between 11:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. And the head of U.S. intelligence says spying on foreign leaders is a fundamental part of their work. Briefing a congressional hearing, the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said foreign allies also regularly spied on the U.S. and its leaders. His evidence comes in the wake of allegations that the U.S. monitored phone calls made by the German chancellor and other European leaders.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information. President Mahama has directed the immediate interdiction of three top officers of the Ghana Immigration Service. The directive follows the results of an investigation conducted into the involvement in the issuance of residence permits and extension of visitors' permit to some Chinese nationals without due regard to the strict requirements of the law and institutional procedural practices in relation to such permits or visas. They are the Acting Deputy Director of Finance and Administration, Veronica Adi, the Acting Deputy Director of Legal Affairs, Kwame Isiatichi, and the Regional Commander of Volta Region, Joseph Gardner. A release signed by the Interior Minister, Kwesi Ahoy, said the disciplinary proceedings are in accordance with the disciplinary orders of the service. Meanwhile, the three officers have been directed to hand over the duties of their offices and all official items and vehicles in charge to officers who have been appointed by the President to take over the shadows. The new appointments made are as follows. Acting Deputy Director of Operations, Felix Yalsapon. He replaces Daniel Tabazwin, who retired from the service a couple of weeks ago. Judith Mawunyo-Jokoto is now the Acting Deputy Director of Finance and Administration, and Victoria Baba Asari is the new Acting Director of Legal Affairs.
Meanwhile, President Mahama has left Accra for Stockholm, Sweden, where he will be co-hosting the midterm review meeting of the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, Gavi Alliance. He will be co-hosting the meeting with a Swedish Minister for International Development Cooperation, Hilvi Engström. more than 150 participants, including health ministers from implementing countries, Gavi Alliance partners, WHO, UNICEF, World Bank, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, donors, the private sector, civil society, members of parliament, and vaccine manufacturers are attending the meeting. The meeting is expected to evaluate the progress made by the alliance in its quest to deliver on the goals of the London Pledging Conference in 2011. These goals include accelerating the uptake and use of underused and new vaccines, strengthening health systems to improve immunization coverage, improving long-term predictability and stability of immunization financing, and helping to improve vaccine market conditions for developing countries. President Mahama, who has been selected by the Global Fund as an ambassador, hosted with the fund and Gavi a side event during the recent UN General Assembly on innovative development models and how to harness the power of global public-private partnerships in the post-2015 agenda.
Human trafficking regulations have been dormant for 8 years, have been reviewed and laid before Parliament for consideration. The regulations are aimed at ensuring the effective implementation of the Human Trafficking Act, which seeks to prevent and punish persons involved in human trafficking. The Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelita, disclosed this in Accra at the opening of a three-day training workshop for police personnel on child labour and human trafficking. Mrs. Oyelita also noted that a secretariat has been set up to facilitate work on human trafficking. Yvonne Atelegu filed this report.
The issue of child labor and human trafficking has over the years had detrimental effect on the education, health and other rights of children. It has also increased illiteracy rates, poverty and retards national development. Mrs. Oyelita said, with the trend that human trafficking and child labor issues are on the increase, it is welcome news that the Ghana Police Service is training its personnel to deal with the issue. She called on Parliament to speed up the process of reviewing human trafficking regulations for early passage into law.
The human trafficking regulations have been finalized. The Human Trafficking Act was promulgated in 2005, and 8 years later, the Ministry has finalized the regulations, and it has also been laid before Parliament for consideration. We also have a human trafficking secretariat that will facilitate and ensure that the act together with the regulations are implemented.
The sector minister also mentioned some provisions of the human trafficking regulations.
We have included a clause on human trafficking training in all curricula of security services. For that to be included. And then we have also proposed higher sentencing for a parent who facilitates the re-trafficking of a child. The punishment is more serious and a higher sentence has been proposed.
The Director General of Police CID, Prosper Agbo, mentioned some successes chalked so far in combating child labor and human trafficking.
From 2008 to date, the unit has dealt with 98 cases across the country. As a result, a total of 433 victims have been rescued. These include 293 children. All the victims have been reunited with their families, and I am optimistic that the Anti-Human Trafficking Unit will continue to execute its mandate with zeal and professionalism, since child labor and human trafficking issues are very vital to the development of the Ghanaian economy.
The three-day workshop is aimed at better improving expertise of the police personnel in dealing with child labor and human trafficking in the country.
Yvonne Atilego reporting.
Organized labor will embark on a nationwide strike on the 18th of next month following the current PRC tariff increment. The decision was arrived at during a national unions meeting in Accra. Speaking to Agatha Samoan behind the news, the Deputy General Secretary of the Industrial Commercial Union, who is also a signatory to the strike, Professor Morgan Ayawuni, said the 2% reduction is not enough to ease the burden on Ghanaians.
We are all aware of the fact that the Technical Working Committee has come out with various scenarios. The same Technical Working Committee has cautioned that the PURC do not have to increase utility tariffs below 60%. We are already discussing the technical working committee's reports. It is not as if we have decided to pick before time, but we have already been made aware that the technical working group intends to increase tariffs by 3%. And that was why they recommended that it will not be advisable to fix tariffs below 50%. So I do not think that our action is something that can be described as premature. We are acting at the right time, and we are bent on acting to save not only Ghanaian workers, but all Ghanaians. Because you also agree with me that there's no way we can pay these tariffs. The scenario that the technical working committee or technical working group is bringing on board is to suggest that the government, and for that matter PURC, are only prepared to reduce the tariffs by a mere 2%. And is that not an insult?
Now, let's look at the meeting you had. Do you have representation of all the organized labor unions to take this decision?
Yes, I can tell you that the position that we took was representative of organized labor.
That was the Deputy General of the Industrial Commercial Union, Professor Morgan Ayawini. Stakeholders in the mining industry have been discussing in Accra the rising cost of mining and falling prices of gold on the world markets and its implication for the mining industry and the state. The discussion organized by the Ghana Chamber of Mines was dubbed Mining for Development and is the second of such forums this year. Justice Mingle has filed his report.
The Ghana Chamber of Mines organized a forum to showcase and discuss the strategic partnership that exists between the mining industry and government in an effort to reposition mining as a tool for socio-economic transformation. It sought to address the public quest for information, the absence of which has fueled acute negative perceptions about mining. The campaign coordinator of ISODEC, Dr. Steve Mantel, who was the lead to discuss and highlighted key points raised at the forum.
Ghanaians think we mine so many minerals, but effectively it's only one mineral that we contend with. It has supported our economy. If you come to think of 27% of our internal revenue coming from mining, if you come to think that 42% of our foreign exchange comes from mining, then you cannot possibly say that mining hasn't done anything to it. If you think that 21,000 people are directly employed with other ancillary employment that come with it, you probably will not say that mining is not doing anything. So it's beneficial. We must exploit it wisely so that Ghana will see the benefit of it. It's a threat to Ghana, not to my chamber, because galamsey is illegal. And I always repeat quickly that small-scale mining is good for Ghana. Galamsey is bad for Ghana.
The chief executive officer of the Ghana Chamber of Mines, Dr. Tony Obin, was positive about the benefits of mining as an agent of development.
In my view, corporate social responsibility programs must be tied to the medium-term development plan of the various districts where the mining companies operate. That is to say that the body, that's the mining company, should see itself as a corporate citizen and should take part in the processes towards the development of the medium-term development priorities for the districts, and then make a financial contribution towards the realization of the various objectives and goals set out in the medium-term plan. In that way, corporate social responsibility projects will be directly responsive to real needs on the ground.
That was the Chief Executive Officer of Mines, Dr. Tony Orban, ending that report filed by Justice Mingle.
Smallholder farmers in the northern region are facing land acquisition challenges and displacements, which they say is depriving them of their livelihood. About 80% of their victims, who are women, whose main occupation is subsistence farming. This is contained in a research report compiled by the Ghana Land Policy Action Node under the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa, AGRA. At a stakeholders forum in Accra, a presentation of the report revealed that a large number of smallholder farmers have been dispossessed of their lands by traditional chiefs without any prior consultation or negotiation, leaving the farmers with nothing to live on.
Jonathan Thompson with the details.
The research by the Ghana Land Policy Action Node of Agra concentrated on the Bole, Damongo, Gulpegu and North Mo traditional areas of the northern region. The project formed part of a land tenure and property rights risk assessment exercise undertaken by Agra in May this year. The aim was to assess the land rights security challenges of smallholder farmers and recommend solutions to be implemented by policymakers. The research indicated that traditional chiefs had vast authority over lands in the communities and could give or take away any piece of land from a smallholder farmer without any formal documentation or compensation during forced acquisition. Technical assistant of the Ghana Land Policy Action Node, Nana Amayura, tells more.
Basically, we are looking at increasing awareness on land rights and land tenure security and mechanisms to protect land rights. We're also looking at capacity building for traditional authorities and customary land secretariats that are supposed to be delivering land administration services to landholders in the area. And the third aspect is also looking at alternative dispute resolution, that is trying to strengthen existing mechanisms for conflict resolution so that land administration be enhanced for the benefit of all, but especially for the benefit of smallholder farmers, because they are the most vulnerable when it comes to formal land services. At the traditional level, there are mechanisms for resolving conflicts that arises, and it comes all the time. Many of them are such that if they are handled at the local level, it adds value for both parties. But as it is now, they are not transparent, their decisions are not recorded, the processes are not clear. Even structurally, it could happen that some members of the community might be disqualified because maybe they are migrants, they are women, and so on and so forth.
Another challenge the research noted was the marginalization of women when it came to land acquisition, especially for farming. Women could only get land when they created and maintained good relations with men.
Jonathan Thompson reporting.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama orders interdiction of three top officers of Ghana Immigration Service. Organized labor to declare nationwide strike on the 18th of next month over utility price increase. Experts in the mining industry discuss rising cost of mining and falling prices of gold on the world market. Scientists predict partial solar eclipse this Sunday. And head of U.S. intelligence says spying on foreign leaders is a fundamental part of their work. Please stay with us.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information. Welcome back. The Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs, Dr. Seydou Dana, says the priority of the ministry is to guide the chieftaincy institution as a symbol of unity and abolish all harmful cultural practices inimical to the progress of society. Dr. Dana made this known when the ministry took his turn at the media press series in Accra. He said the major challenges of the ministry are inadequate budgetary allocation, staff and office equipment to effectively carry out its functions. Yahya Kwamwa filed this report.
The chieftaincy institution, being one of the oldest, has not been given the needed attention over the years. The minister, Dr. Henry Seydou Dana, said the institution epitomizes unity and social cohesion by minimizing conflicts and promoting political tolerance. He said the vision of the minister is to eliminate harmful cultural practices that impede development.
The ministry is very much concerned about the practice of some harmful traditional and customary practices which in effect abuse the human rights and dignity of the individual. The most affected victims are the girl child, old women, widows, and persons with disability. With a view to addressing the problem, the ministry is currently sourcing for funding from corporate bodies to undertake programs to educate or sensitize chiefs and families, as well as other stakeholders.
Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs, Dr. Seydou Dana, ending the report by Yahya Kwamwa.
The former First Lady, Dr. Mrs. Ernestine Onadu Mills, has admonished students to let the Bible be the standard of their conduct and the goals of their actions. She made the point when she presented Bibles to students of Sinyai Senior High School, SUSEC. The event forms part of Dr. Onadu Mills' Senior High School's Bible Project, through which 500,000 are being distributed across the country to students. The former First Lady announced that her project has become a reality as a result of the partnership between Scripture Union of Ghana and Tyndale House Publishers of Witten, Chicago, USA. The former First Lady emphasized that the Bible addresses the challenges of intertribal and communal conflicts, poverty, diseases, among others, facing the country. Dr. Nadu Mills told the students that as a young person, her own encounter with the Bible was significant and it transformed her life. She therefore urged them to read the Bible that has been given to them and obey what it says.
The Media Foundation for West Africa has applauded the media for their excellent coverage of the elections petition hearing. Executive Director of the Foundation, Professor Kwame Kakari, said the media exhibited professionalism and high ethical standards during a period which was believed to be the testing time in Ghana's electoral processes. He said though there were some flaws, the media were up to the task and rose to the occasion. Irabna Paha has more.
Speaking at a forum organized by the Media Foundation for West Africa to discuss the media's coverage of the 2012 election petition hearing, Professor Kwame Karikari said one issue that was a major worry during the hearing was the media having to sit in the midst of political parties. This, he said, affected their output and exposed them to criticism. He spoke on the performance of the media, the way forward, and lessons to be learned.
For the journalists who covered it, it was also one of the biggest professional tests that they confronted. Generally, that the media did a good job. Some individual media did excellent job. The radio stations, TV stations that put it out live served their public purpose very well. The commentators on radio, TV, live coverage helped the public to understand the processes better. Some of the lessons that we ought to learn is that from now on, the media must also report the election process itself much more critically than we have done. Perhaps we have all not been critical enough in looking at so many aspects of the election process itself. This makes it a challenge for the media to be more critical, to question each and every aspect of the electoral process.
Executive Director of the Media Foundation for West Africa, Professor Kwame Kakari, in ending the report by Irabna Paha.
The country will experience partial hybrid solar eclipse on Sunday, 3rd November. A volunteer of Ghana Planetarium, Sarah Abochi, said the partial solar eclipse is expected to occur between 11:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. Speaking to Agatha Samuel on Behind the News, Madam Abochi said the moon will partially cover the sun at exactly 20 minutes past 1 p.m. She advised the public to wear protective glasses when looking at the sun, since viewing the sun can be damaging to the eyes.
We'll see a partial eclipse. At the maximum, about 80% of the sun will be covered.
How does this hybrid solar eclipse occur?
Basically, a solar eclipse happens when the moon is in a direct line between the earth and the sun.
So how long is this one also expected to last?
Yes, actually it's quite a long time, 11:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. That's how long it will last. The time when the most sun is covered will be around 20 past 1 in the afternoon.
So how do we observe this eclipse? So what should we do to protect eyes?
The safety is the most important thing. We shouldn't try and look directly at the sun. I think we all know if you try and look at the sun, you have to look away very quickly or it's painful. But if you know there's an eclipse, some people might be tempted to kind of force themselves to look at the sun. You really shouldn't, because you could damage your eyes by doing that.
A volunteer of Ghana Planetarium, Sarah Abochi, talking to Agatha Samoa.
With the exception of Vomit Engineering, registered in the country as an expatriate company, Waterville BVI, Austro Investment Management, and N-Power Park, all companies involved in the Woyome saga, are reported unknown in the records of the Registrar General Department. This came to light when the last prosecution witness in the ongoing trial of businessman Alfred Agbesi Woyome, ASP Edward Odame Ochiri, mounted the witness box. ASP Ochiri was a member of the investigation team with the police CID headquarters, which conducted investigations into the alleged fraud involving 51,283,480 Ghana cedis against the state by Alfred Woyome. Here's a report by Amasewa Bediako.
ASP Autry noted that the police investigating team received an interim report from the Economic and Organized Crime Office, IOCO, on earlier investigations it carried out. Four companies which were cited to have played a role in the case were investigated. Vanet Engineering from Austria, which is into stadia constructions, bid for the construction of the Sekendi and Tamale Stadia. Austro Invest, also from Austria, which was also into project financing. Waterball BVI from British Virgin Islands was into stadia construction, as well as M-Power Park, based in Togo, which belongs to Mr. Woyumi. Although Vamed won the evaluation conducted by the Finance Ministry, it relinquished its rights and obligations to Waterville BVI to undertake the project. ASP Autry said Mr. Woyumbe, who at the time was one of the directors of Austro Invest, got involved because Austro Invest management had to simulate the funds for the project, which was on a turnkey basis. He noted that Mr. Woyumbe, in a petition to the Attorney General in February 2010, claimed 2% of 1,106,470,587 euros as his professional fees for the financial engineering for CAN 2008. The 2% of the total money sourced amounted to 22,129,411.74 euros. The financial engineering was for the construction of two new stadia at Sekendi and Tamale, the rehabilitation of the Accra, Kumasi and Elwak stadia, and subsequently stadia for all 10 regions.
I'm Masiwa Bediako reporting.
We'll take a break. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
On the foreign front, the head of U.S. intelligence has told a congressional hearing that spying on foreign leaders is a fundamental part of their work. His evidence comes in the wake of allegations that the U.S. monitored phone calls made by the German Chancellor Angela Merkel. The director of national intelligence said foreign allies regularly spied upon the U.S. and its leaders.
Now to end the news, the main point again. President John Mahama has ordered the interdiction of three top officers of Ghana Immigration Service for their involvement in the issuance of residence permits and extension of visitors' permits to some Chinese nationals without following the laid-down procedures. Stakeholders in the mining industry have been discussing in Accra the rising cost of mining and falling prices of gold on the world markets and its implication for the mining industry in the state. The country will experience partial hybrid solar eclipse this Sunday, November 3. Speaking to Radio Ghana, a volunteer of Ghana Planetarium, Sarah Abochi, said the partial solar eclipse is expected to occur between 11:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. And the head of U.S. intelligence has told a congressional hearing that spying on foreign leaders is a fundamental part of their work. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Baba Yakubu in Accra.